Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The man was sitting in darkness as he had done all of his life. He knew the sunlight by its warmth, but he couldn't see the light, what the light illuminated. He perceived the world around him through the touch of his fingers, the sounds of his surroundings, and the odors that wafted through the breeze. He sat in darkness outside the temple area. Perhaps he heard the conversation between the disciples and Jesus. Surely he had heard others like it before. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" People always want to know whose fault it was, who sinned, who was guilty, who should receive from God this just punishment. There was no answer. People, he guessed, would come up with their own theories. The conversation always seemed to be about him, but never with him. Maybe at one time in the past, one of the Pharisees asked the parents or even asked the man, but now people treated the man as a subject for theological reflection or simply as an object of pity. No one had a solid answer. What would it matter? There wasn't anything that could be done for the fact that this man remained blind and in the dark. So maybe the man's ears perked up as he heard Jesus talk with his disciples. For the first time, someone was giving a different response. Jesus said, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming, and no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Those words must have felt like the warmth of the sun, only welling up from inside. These words were like a breath of fresh air, invigorating the man as he marveled at their meaning. Now, though the man couldn't see it, hand reached out to touch him. He felt a warm paste applied to his sightless eyes. Then he heard the voice of Jesus commanding him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." Blind man did not see that Jesus had mixed his saliva with the earth below him to make the mud that anointed his eyes, nor did the man see the hands that anointed his eyes with mud from the ground. He didn't know that, in fact, these were the same hands that formed the first man out of the dust of the earth. This was beyond his perception, way beyond his perception. This man was blind in more ways than one. But this blind man heard the voice of Jesus. And so faith was enkindled through his word. The breath of the Spirit had gone out with the word of Jesus. And so this blind man in faith went and washed as Jesus had commanded. As he cupped the water from the pool of Siloam to wash the mud caked to his eyes, something new happened. By the grace of God, this man saw the world the very first time. Boy, what a strange sight it was. I mean, previously he only perceived the world through touch and taste and smell and hearing, but now he could see. He could see the sun in the sky, the source of the warmth that in the past he could only feel. He could see the livestock, and he could tell what it was that was the source of those pleasant odors. He could put a visual picture to the things that he had previously known only by touch. Seeing for the first time the world was. What was the sight that greeted him next? The Pharisees. He had heard their voices before. He had heard their theological debates about his sin and the sin of his parents, but now he was seeing them in their ornate, long, flowing robes as they questioned him. They wanted to know how he was now able to see. They didn't seem to be concerned with his sin so much as they were about the one who sinned against God's Sabbath by restoring his sight. Could see how ugly the anger in their faces were as they demanded an answer. How were you healed? You can imagine this man looking them for the first time in the eye, saying, "He put mud on my eye. I washed. I see." Of course, that didn't satisfy them. The questions went on. The Pharisees consulted the parents. They couldn't figure it out. They saw the evidence, but they would not believe. They interrogated the man again, and he confessed, "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind." If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. It was a simple, honest, and truthful confession. And it was more profound than he knew. Indeed, Jesus was the one who was sent by the Father. Jesus is the one who, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, existed before the world began and through whom all things were created. Man's confession resulted in his expulsion from the temple worship. Cut off from the atoning sacrifices of the altar, he was condemned by the Pharisees to live and to die in a life of sin. But Jesus wouldn't have it. The man again heard the familiar voice of Jesus, but now he saw him with his eyes for the first time. He saw the source of his restored sight, but he did not yet perceive. Jesus found him and asked him a question. This question was different than the inquisition of the Pharisees. When he looked at Jesus, this man saw love and compassion and mercy in his face. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." He worshiped him. So ends the gospel reading today. It doesn't end the gospel truth revealed in your hearing. The truth is that Jesus found you when you were lost and sitting in darkness. Jesus came for you that he would open your eyes as well. The truth is, each one of us was born into the blindness of sin. Sure, we were seeing with our physical eyes, but we did not perceive the world around us rightly. We were born blind to see the one who created us. Look, if you want to get theological, it's this way because of our first parents who sinned and left us to be born into a world of sin. And so the things that we do, as we shouldn't, or the things that we don't do as we should, right? These give evidence to the fact that we are spiritually blind and in the dark. Our sin, parents' sin, ultimately, what does it matter? We can't do anything to make ourselves see rightly. We can't solve our spiritual problem. We can't just open our eyes and make the blindness go away. We need Jesus for that. The one who created the world is the one who redeems the world from this blindness. Through the Spirit-filled Word of the Son, those who are born blind graciously receive their sight. Through the Word of God comes the undoing of the curse of sin and death. Through the Word comes the light of sin forgiven, life and salvation. Jesus alone brings this to His creation. He brings it through his suffering and death. The feet that carried Jesus on his journey to bring good news to the blind and the hands that anointed his eyes, these were the same ones pierced by nails and driven deep into the cross. The voice that first commanded the man to go and wash in the waters of Siloam later cried out from the cross for a drop of water to drink. When Jesus finally breathed his last, his eyes were blinded in death. Why? Because he carried that man's sin, his parents' sin, your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world, so that through him, I might see. The world sat in darkness as Jesus lay dead in the tomb. But as the light of the third day broke the darkness of the night, it was revealed that Jesus is alive. The darkness of sin and the blindness of death had been broken. The Word of God blazes forth in brilliant glory. And now, dear people of God in Christ, Word has come to you, the blindness of your sin. He has washed over you, recreating you in the pool of the baptismal font. Though you do not see Him, oh, you hear His voice. You hear His commands, you treasure His promises. You do not see Him, but you taste Him. Bread and wine, along with His promise, they are His body and blood, which you eat and drink. Though you don't see Him now, He is present, and He is joining Himself to the very elements. He is moving among us, searching us out, and finding us so that He might display His wonderful mercy to sinners like us. Don't see Him in the flesh now, but you will. As you and I, and all of creation, wait to behold the Lord of mercy with our remade eyes, we look out at this world and we see it rightly. We see strange sights before us. We see the result of sin still in this world, how it affects ourselves and how it affects others. We see the heartache and the pain that it causes. We see life, young and old, destroyed. We see marriages attacked. We see our bodies aging, diseased, and decaying. We even see things like pandemic and panic. See that we're tempted to look at others not with love or mercy or compassion, with disdain and disgust. We see the clouds of darkness gather. Yet in the clouds of darkness, we see Jesus, the light of the world. You know, just as He dealt in mercy with the man born blind, oh, He deals mercifully with us. He is dispelling the darkness. And His promise is that a new day will dawn on His creation, for it has already begun with the rising of the sun. It continues as the message of His salvation finds those blinded in sin, and it will reach its fullness as our risen Lord comes in all of His glory, all of His splendor, raise us from the dead, so that finally we may see Him face to face. O Lord, may the proclamation of Your love, Your mercy, and compassion shine through us, Your church, that others may see the light of Your salvation and so be blessed to see You in the flesh on the last day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.